There have been quite a lot of stories in the news recently, perhaps the past year or two, a lot of concerns raised about the place of young men in society. That there's a lot of young men growing up feeling at times angry because they can't find a place in society. There's a lot of concerns about bad male role models, particularly online, and what they call incel culture. But there's others who see there's a serious lack of opportunities for young men. And the number of unemployed young men is rising. The number of unmarried young men is rising. And just as an example, I don't know if you've seen on the BBC recently, they've made a film about Gareth Southgate, the former England football manager. Not so much about him being the football manager, but about how he tried to use that role to try to encourage disillusioned young men. I say all of that as an introduction to show how relevant our passage is, because in chapter 11 of Ecclesiastes, we have Solomon's wise advice for young men, his wise counsel for young men. How can they make the most of their brief breath of a life? Remember, vanity here is a breath, but it's short and fleeting. In a way, it's quite similar to some parts of Proverbs where, you know, Solomon speaks to his son, really any young man, really, to give wise advice. And really here, we're entering into the conclusion of Ecclesiastes. And in these last two chapters, there's a comparison made between a young man starting off in life, who's full of energy, who lots of opportunities, life opening up before them. But then in chapter 12, that's contrasted with an older man who's coming to the end of life and his health and his strength are failing. And so we go in a breath from a young man who's like the sun rising to a grey-haired veteran and the sun going down. Again, just to emphasise how fleeting life is. So tonight, again, in the hope of just hopefully explaining the text, I just want to ask, what then does the Word of God say? And what does Solomon say here to young men about their place and purpose in the world? What wisdom does a young person need starting out in life? So I think you could say the first piece of wisdom that Solomon gives is go for it. Is go for it. Trying to sum up the first four verses, I think what Solomon is saying is give your all. Work hard. Don't be afraid. Don't be passive. But pursue your hopes, your ambitions, and don't hold back. And when you're young and you've got time and energy, and you've got freedom, seize hold of what opportunities come your way. You've only got one life, so grab hold of it. And of course, these first four verses have lots of poetic pictures in them. But I think what Solomon is saying is to the young, work hard, don't be passive. Don't sit around, wait for something to happen. Launch yourself, go for it. Cast your bread upon the waters, it'll return to you after many days. Give a serving to seven, even to eight. Saying, expend yourself, give of yourself, pour yourself out. Put your whole heart and energy into your work and into pursuing life. And in the morning, sow your seed. Rejoice in your youth. The effort and energy that you're going to put into things as your youth will bring a return to you in time when you get older. So suppose today he's saying to a young person, give your all and pour yourself into your education and study. Lay yourself out at it. It will bring its reward later. Work hard, long hours. That's the most certain way to success. He's saying just don't make a half-hearted effort and let life be passing you by. Don't give a 7 out of 7 effort. Give an 8 out of 7 effort. And there is, I think, sometimes a temptation for young... I beg your pardon. I'm sorry, I thought that was out. It's actually Andrew King. Silence that. There is a kind of temptation, and I think especially today, that you do see a lot of young people falling into, of being passive. maybe being sometimes feeling entitled, or maybe sometimes overly anxious and afraid, and they hold back. Well, Solomon says, look, if the clouds are full of rain, then it rains. If a tree falls, it remains there. If you don't do something, nothing will change. The world will keep turning without you. Are you just going to sit there like a tree in the forest? Let life pass you by? He who observes the wind will not sow. He who regards the clouds won't reap. He's saying, don't be the kind of person who always finds an excuse. Well, I could have done this. I could have done that. I could have gone for it. But it was never the right time. The wind was blowing the wrong direction. It was too difficult. It just didn't happen. I was waiting for something. And I think Solomon is really saying, get on. Work. Live. Pursue what God's put you here for. You're made in the image of God. He's given you gifts. So go for it. And if that is right, if that is the spirit of what he's saying, then it means something we should all encourage. Young people should be idealistic. They should have drive. They should be encouraged to go on an adventure, to take on new challenges. They should be encouraged to work hard and even be ambitious, as long as it's an acceptable way to God. And I think this is helpful corrective, because so many young people are being told that they're no good, that there is no future for them. They're just written off the moment they first fail an exam. Or that's what they've heard from absent dad. And are told, you know, a life on benefits is the best that there can be. And there's no opportunities for you. So there's a very optimistic challenge here. In a bit of a kind of a gentle challenge that Solomon's giving. But then the second piece of wisdom is just as important. An important counterbalance to the first. Solomon says a young person must learn to be humble. And be humble before God. And to trust that all outcomes in life are in God's hands. And I think he really says that in verses 5 to 6. I suppose this is the healthy Christian pessimism we've talked about before. If you can imagine Solomon being very honest with some bright-eyed, eager, enthusiastic young person who's sure everything's going to work out how they dream. Yes, it's good to go for it, but remember, there's much you don't understand and that you will never understand. And really he's saying, no one knows how things are going to work out. No one really knows what the end results will be. You plant your crops, sow in the morning, sow in the evening, and you might be successful or it might fail. So be humble. And wisdom and humility will make you plan and be resilient, and you'll expect ups and downs and setbacks. He says, no one knows the way of the wind, how it blows. No one can explain the miracle of life, how a child is conceived and knit together in the womb. There's so much we don't know about the works of God, particularly his providence, what God has ordained and what will be. Who knows if you'll prosper? Your business might fold. You might fail an exam. In the grand scheme of things, success and failure are just a breath. But what matters is fearing God, that you live in a way that pleases him. That, as he says, you put away evil from your flesh. That you turn from sin and seek to please God in all that you do. Only God knows the times and the seasons. So the only way to live is consciously by faith in him. Just day by day, trusting the Lord. You put your faith in his sovereign ordering of all things. So really, I think as well, he's saying to a young person, you know, don't be proud. Don't think you know it all. Don't think you've got it all figured out. And I think what he's saying here is really summed up well by James in his letter. Remember in James, I think it's in chapter 4, it says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there. buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor. See, there's Ecclesiastes. A vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. That's really exactly what Solomon is saying here to the young person. But of course, this is a wisdom that we all need, actually, don't we? It's not just about somebody starting out in life. And then the third piece of wisdom is really, again, Solomon returns to the main message of the whole book. That even as a young person, remember that life is short. This is verses 7 to 10. The light is sweet. It's pleasant to behold the sun. So there's so much in life to enjoy. God's good gifts. Make the most of them. But remember the days of darkness that will come. The days of old age and sickness and troubles and ultimately death. The life is a breath. Verse 9, rejoice in your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart. So dream, work, have fun, live. But know, for all these, you will appear before God in the end. What will count at the end is you will face God's judgment. And he's saying, always have that in mind to guide you. So, really, in a word, Solomon is saying to a young person, think about the reality of eternity and of God. Think about the true meaning of life. Think about what will you have to show at the end when you stand before God. And so what any young person most needs as they're putting life together is the fear of God. That right eternal perspective about what really matters. Life is more than food and clothing. And that your soul is precious to God. That's what counts. And so think of the words of Psalm 90. Teach us to number our days aright, that we might gain a heart of wisdom. It's the same message, same truth. So as I say, that's wisdom. I suppose here it's really given to a younger person starting out, but the message fits all of us. I wanted to finish by sharing with you. You probably know the American pastor, Jonathan Edwards, in the 18th century. And he was a very godly, serious young man. And as a young man, he wrote a series of resolutions, which he then would read over each week for the rest of his life. And I just want to share with you just some of those resolutions. The first was resolved that I will do whatsoever I think to be most to God's glory and my own good, profit and pleasure in the whole of my duration without any consideration of the time, whether now or never so many myriads of ages hence. Resolved to do whatever I think to be my duty and most for the good and advantage of mankind in general. Resolved to do this, whatever difficulties I meet with, how many and how great. Number six, and this fits with part of what Solomon says. Number six was resolved to live with all my might while I do live. And then the last, 22, which again I think fits the wisdom Solomon gives. Resolved to endeavour to obtain for myself as much happiness in the other world as I possibly can, with all the power, might, vigour and vehemence, yea, violence I am capable of, or can bring myself to exert in any way that can be thought of. So resolved to endeavour to obtain for myself as much happiness in the other world as I possibly can. That's a good resolution to guide you through life, to fear God, live knowing we'll stand before him. So that is Solomon's wisdom and guidance to a young man. God willing, next week we'll look at chapter 12 and what he has to say about growing older. Amen.